It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock here. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark Hotline. We'll have high school football for you tonight. Friendship at Abilene. That coverage begins at 6:30 here on Double T 97.3. The Fighting Lubbock Coopers hosting Wichita Falls Rider tonight. That coverage starts at 6:30 on 100.7 The Score. And then at 6:45, we'll have Coronado versus Abilene Cooper on Oldies 97.7. Gus, how you going?
I am good, man. TGIF,
brother. Yes, no doubt.
Mercy.
We'll have a day full of football for you tomorrow. Starting at 10:30, we'll have Georgia at South Carolina. Some SEC East action. That's on 100.7 The Score. Our Optimum Game Day Live presented by United Supermarkets coverage will start at 2 o'clock, and we'll have you ready and fired up the game against NC State. We'll have that for you, of course, here on Double T 97.3 and the Double T 97.3 Coors Light postgame show following the game here on Double T 97.3. Gus, we spent a lot of time talking about it yesterday, so I'm curious, did you watch, or how much of the Thursday night football game did you watch on Prime last night?
I watched beginning well into the second quarter and then came back to for most of the fourth quarter. And I tried three of the four streams. The one main stream was just, traditional mm-hmm. broadcast.
Right.
On Prime. Herb Street and Al Michaels. And by the way, I think Al Michaels' contract for this year, $11 million. Herb Street, $10 million. We were throwing a lot of the dollar around. Sure. That was one of the few things that I saw today that I was like, how did I miss that yesterday? But it was thereabouts. But then there was a second stream that was a Spanish-speaking stream, but not just like an SAP deal. It was an actual Spanish-speaking crew. Yeah. And then there was a third thing that was back to the traditional broadcast, but with heavy stats. Like the screen was, there was heavy stats down the right side of the screen and across the bottom of the screen. Everything you can imagine. Mm-hmm. Running stats, third down efficiencies, just you name it. But as far as what you saw and heard, it was all, or at least, it was just Michaels and Herb Street. And then the fourth one was the bro. What was the...
Oh, Dude Perfect.
Dude Perfect.
Yeah, I didn't watch that one.
I did. I gave it a minute, and I showed you one of the... texted you one of the tweets, because they were cutting up big time. There was no... The game was on, but there was no audio. It was just those dudes talking and chatting. Just
that
kind
was like the backdrop of another conversation.
Right, exactly. And it was really... It was akin to something you said, that you threw that out there as, one of the scenarios we kicked out yesterday, and... or that we tossed out yesterday, and the interesting thing was a tweet that I sent you was I assume it was the parent of a young child. She looked, I don't know, 6 or 7, and she was staring at the TV, and the tweet was, hey, at Dude Perfect, at Amazon, my daughter has never watched football, but she's watching this right now, and she was staring at the screen while they were throwing footballs at each other, trying to knock them into the dunk tank.
Well, I saw the... I mainly watch the primary broadcast, the traditional kind of, whatever. I did dip into the X-ray vision or whatever it was called with the advanced stats.
How'd you get to the other one that we're talking about? Okay, got it.
I don't know that I could watch a whole game like that, but it was interesting, and part of me wishes they could kind of incorporate that more into the main broadcast. The part that I thought was the most interesting was they were doing real-time player tracking, right? So the ball would be hiked, and then you would see the different players and the routes
they
ran.
Yeah, yeah.
right? Or I mean, all that stuff. And when a player caught the ball, hey, boom, it's, you know, Sammy Watkins or Travis Kelce or whatever. You don't have to wait for the play-by-play guy to kind of single out who that is. I thought that was very interesting. What I didn't like was they just integrated a Twitter feed basically into kind of the bottom portion of that screen. And so whenever you would get really in-depth stats, more than just like, hey, you know, they've been under center, you know, 5 snaps out of 17 or whatever. But whenever they added stats that required some context, it was just pulling from their Twitter account, which, you know, can be fine. But, you know, you're not, at that point, you're not really writing for television. You're writing for phone screens. And so they're abbreviating words. They're having typos, stuff that you wouldn't really normally associate with kind of an on-screen bug or on-screen kind of graphic. So that part, you know, needs some work. But overall, I thought it was pretty impressive.
And when you saying that, I didn't notice it, but it makes perfect sense. And to me, that's the kind of thing that could probably be ironed out quickly. I would think that if you were in a production room or something today going, all right, what do we think? You know, let's meet tomorrow at 10 in the morning and sort this stuff out. That important. Can be cleaned up. Yeah, that can
right.
Be cleaned
if
up.
You're Amazon there, I mean, the most important thing is that your broadcast looks polished and you know, refined and not like it's the first time. And when you're just pulling tweets from your Twitter account, like, what are you getting out of that Twitter account? Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't seem worth it to me. What I found very interesting too, Gus, was during the broadcast, I went to ESPN.com.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, we've got the Chiefs and the Chargers, right? That's a big one. Yep. Granted, it's week two, but still a very big game.
Divisional matchup, right? Sure.
NFL game, Mahomes, Herbert.
Yeah, you got two.
Inarguably the biggest sporting event that happened within the, you know, American sports bubble yesterday.
Last
period,
night.
Point blank.
Yep.
No doubt. And, you know, the front page of ESPN was all about the WNBA Finals game between the Connecticut Sun and the Las Vegas Aces because they had that game on their channel. And it was being played at the same time, more or less. And so I thought that was very, very interesting and maybe kind of instructive on what the Big Ten might come to expect
right here
in a couple of years when they no longer have a relationship with, you know, ESPN at all.
Well, it's an idea that, and they would be able to come back and say, we covered the game. You know, and when you went there on Friday morning or after that game went final late Thursday night, or if you're on the West Coast or whatever, hey, what was the score? You got coverage of the game if you're on ESPN.com. But as you said, when you tuned in at 7:30 or whatever, it wasn't there. And that is exactly what I would, you know, I'm in 100% agreement with you on that regarding the Big Ten. Okay, sorry, fellas.
We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments throughout the program today. We'll talk a lot about the Red Raider football team and their matchup tomorrow with the NC State Wolfpack. And then look around the Big 12 as another big day of college football ahead of us. And, of course, like I said, anything you want to chat about, hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. You can also access that through the TT973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. Coming up next, though, we'll bring you the juice. Get you caught up on today's biggest sports headlines on TT973.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from TT973.
Hey there, it's the Juice brought to you by our friends at Specs Wine Spirits and Finer Foods, two convenient locations here in Lubbock, West Loop and 4th Street behind the Whataburger, and also Slide Road and 69th Street. You can also check out the offerings at specsonline.com. Time for some headlines. Rangers will be in action tonight. They had yesterday off. They'll open up a series against the Tampa Bay Rays tonight in Tampa.
Remember on Monday when we talked about the ideal one-day trip for the Rangers would be, you know, because they played in Sunday in Arlington and then flew to Miami and played a doubleheader and then back to Arlington.
Right, and I now said, they're back in Florida.
It'd be a lot better if they could have just gone straight to Tampa.
That makes
again,
no sense.
That the schedule was a function of the lockout and just trying to fit stuff in, but the Rangers have gone back and forth now twice in this week.
First pitch from the Trop, 6:10 p.m. Tennessee coach Josh Heupel has received a contract extension and $1 million raise that will take his salary to $5 million annually. Heupel is in his second season at Tennessee. He's guided the Vols to a 2-0 start. They're ranked 15th in the latest AP poll. His new deal will extend 1 year through January 31st, 2028. His buyout is $8 million if he leaves before another job. Leaves for another job before December of next year. He remains among the lowest paid head football coaches in the SEC, though he is ahead of Missouri's Elijah Drinkwitz, $4 million annually, and Shane Beamer at South Carolina, who makes a pedestrian $2.75 million.
How does he feed his family on that?
I know, right? Bunch of beanie weenies and ramen noodles, I guess. Texas A&M Aggies are making a quarterback change. They'll go with Max Johnson as the starter for Saturday's game against the Miami Hurricanes. Johnson is a transfer from LSU. He's attempted just four passes in the Aggies' first two games. Aggies are 1-1. They rank 100th nationally in scoring offense and 102nd nationally in total offense.
And their schedule is, there's no breaks ahead for them right here in the near future.
This is, yeah, to me, this is, like, weird.
He could have had a crappy week of practice or something, but still, man.
And finally, PayPal, the jersey patch partner of the Phoenix Suns, said today that it would not be renewing its sponsorship with the team should majority owner Robert Sarver continue in his role following his one-year suspension for racist and misogynistic remarks. The company's sponsorship deal with the Suns began in 2018 and is set to expire after this coming season. It's worth, reportedly, about $3 million a year. You, too, can join the program. Love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. The juice was brought to you by our friends at Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. The Heupel thing, like, and maybe I've been, like, radicalized by the extension that Tech gave Cliff after his first season. And it was announced right before his second. But who exactly is beating down your door to go hire Josh Heupel?
After year one.
Right?
Like, wasn't that just a first-year deal?
I mean,
that featured a bowl loss to Wake. Remember, it was close. Was it Wake? But regardless, to your point, you've run down that rabbit hole. My bad. Other than just the idea of, first of all, you're Tennessee. The dude's not leaving you. Purdue. Okay, sorry. But it was a barn burner. It was a game that had everybody's attention because it was crazy. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple calls that everybody went bananas over, and just sort of one of those things you glance down at Twitter kind of over the Christmas break and go, I don't know what's going on with this game, but I just got 14 texts that are all, expletive laced. I know you wouldn't believe that from any of my friends going, oh my God. In his case, other than just to serve as a rallying point for the fan base, maybe, but he's – or to make sure that he's 4 or 5 years out and it's not getting used against him in recruiting, right? But, I'm with you on that. I don't know why that would be necessary, even if his agent's driving it. What's he going to do, leave you for – is he such a hot commodity right now? Hey, if you don't take me, he's going to leave for – Nebraska.
Okay.
Is that the threat?
See ya.
Right.
Good luck.
We're Tennessee. But, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I just...
That's the threat.
And Kleiman got one last year, right? And it looked really, really odd there at the midpoint of the season, and then they kind of rallied, thanks in part to the epic collapse in Lubbock by the Red Raiders. And they've kind of been off to the moon since. But man, I just what's the hurry? Like, what's the absolute need to get this done now? He could go 4-8 for all you know.
And like, what's the threat? It's sort of the response to your question about what's the hurry. Like, what's the cost of not doing this right now? What's the cost of going, hey, Mr. Agent, Jimmy Sexton, or who, I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah, he's got a lot of them. And, you know, hey, we'll talk in December. Let's get the hay in the barn.
Yeah, I mean, because...
I mean, what's the threat? I mean, really,
like he's Tim Tadlock, right? Or, I mean, he hasn't done anything.
And he's not...
They went 7-6 last year. They've got a pretty good recruiting class. They've got a 5-star quarterback committed, which is good, which is nice.
They've paid a buttload of NIL money to that cat in a way that's so over the top that I would go, if you and me and Clint were coaching that team, that dude might be coming for the $8 million if you believe all the rumors, right? Like, I'll go get the $8 million, and if these three clowns stink, I'll leave. Yours, right? I mean,
yeah, I just.
I'm with you. I don't understand. I mean, I wasn't really thinking about it, but when you say it that way, it's I can't, you know, certainly can't disagree with that. Hey, one note about the Rangers game, and I've kind of threw art in the deal about the scheduling oddity, and should have thrown this in as well because I wrote it down last night. Of course, it was Roberto Clemente Day in Major League Baseball. The Rays started a lineup consisting entirely of Latino players last night for the first time ever, and which would give a little bit of a surprise because there's a lot of Latino players. You would think that could have happened at one point or another. And just you know, and by no means was that token day, because that's a team that they're in the playoff hunt, they're in the race, and they won their game 11-0. So, but that was a pretty cool story, and I thought about that when, you know, just as you jumped off the Rangers, but that, you know, the Rays are getting it done again.
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line: I would love for Tech to run the football more. I think Gus and I would too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But the problem is, I don't think that you're capable of doing that. I mean, no. I think that if you and you ran the ball a good amount considering how relatively unsuccessful you were with it and have been so far in these first two games. I just don't think that you have the horses up front to just move people around. And I think that will probably be especially apparent, and hopefully not, but I think it'll be especially apparent tomorrow and then next Saturday.
Yeah, I don't, and you said it well, I don't think we have the kind of team to go, hey, boys, we're running it. Try to stop us. Unfortunately, we don't have that sort of juice up front. You know, and when you really look at this offensive line, and there's a pretty good chance that Weston Wright, who's one of the seniors, you know, he was carted off last week, and it's an ankle injury, and nobody really, they're sort of being coy about that one. And but you look at the names around them, and there's some youth. Like, there's some guys this time next year. That O-line isn't going to be gutted. You know, there's a lot of dudes back, and I know they're signing guys. They got a commitment on Sunday, I believe, an offensive lineman from Central Texas. And so, but this is a group that's got, you know, this guy's got two more years. That guy, I'm not saying you look over there and it's freshman, 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 which is what the Longhorns have. You know, they've got like 7 of their top 10 as freshmen. But this is a group that has a chance to grow together over the next couple of years.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. ESPN College Game Day is in Boone, North Carolina this weekend as the Appalachian State Mountaineers, fresh off of their upset victory over the Fighting Texas Aggies in College Station last weekend, they're hosting Troy. Appy State is. They're 13.5-point favorites. This is odd, Gus, because, you know, Troy is 1-1. They're not ranked. They're not thought to be in any kind of, like, exceptional or very interesting Sun Belt team. Appalachian State is 1-1. This is week, what, 3 of the college football season?
It's almost like ESPN wants to check a box. Hey, we can go do that game and check the group of and five box.
I'm not, like, hating on it, right? Because I think it's great, clearly, and the reason I bring this up is because there's a live shot right now, or, you know, some kind of shot on ESPN of the crowd there. It's packed. Apparently, you cannot buy poster board in Boone, North Carolina. If you go to the Office Depot or the Staples there or any kind of store, you cannot find poster board. Folks there are amped. You might have seen some of the post-game video from Boone from Saturday, and I don't know anything about Boone, North Carolina, how big it is, whatever, but you essentially had, like, gigantic crowds converging, I guess, mm-hmm. on the main square.
Yeah, down the street, like,
yeah,
one.
And then they're just, they meet in the
middle. It looked like a gang
nuts.
Fight.
You yeah, know,
it looked
go like... ham. And they're like jumping. I mean, it's. And
that was cool.
It was
that
really
was so
cool. And that's the neat thing about college sports, right? Because mm-hmm. it can elicit that kind of reaction. So I'm not saying that this is a bad decision. It's just interesting that that they go in this direction when it's not some kind of, like, heated rivalry or kind of an unexpected, hey, two ranked group of five teams early. And I don't know that there was just, like, a great alternative either.
And that, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It makes me wonder if ESPN's not just going, hey, we can check the group of five box off at the end of the year. I did see this. Front Office Sports reported that ESPN Game Day's first two programs this year were the most watched two-weekend stretch since 2010. And, you know, why do I care? Whatever, they get about an average of 2.1 million viewers, a 19% increase year over year from this time last year. And why do we care? Well, the only thing I would put it out there is just to say, if you thought that program, nobody cares about that anymore, or whatever, you know, just sort of nobody in my circle follows that or whatever. And you and I've covered that a little bit. I think that show's not going away anytime soon. Be interesting. And I don't even think McAfee was part of...
He wasn't the first weekend. Last week was his first.
He was? Okay. Yeah, we're really just given these metrics as part of the two-weekend stretch, but that was kind of interesting.
And part of me wonders how much of an increase, and I assume there was an increase, but maybe not, but I wonder if there was an increase week two with McAfee yeah. joining. Because I tuned in. I watched more Game Day last week than I normally do, just because I wanted to kind of see what McAfee was like in that setting. I was impressed. I thought it was good. It didn't seem forced. It didn't seem kind of corny or whatever. It was very good.
Yeah, and he wasn't. Yeah, and they've he and Corso are on the show at the same time, which was part of our conversation about that one wouldn't be butting the other one off and being the, you know, putting his mascot heads on and everything else. A couple other things, just total college football viewing across national networks is up 8% through week two, and has reached at least a 6-year high. So, again, another thing that points to the popularity of all this. Well,
it also points to how the folks that complained last summer. If they're going to be professionals and they're not going to be student athletes, right, then I'm just tuning out. I'm just not going to watch. I'm just not. It ruins college football for me if they're getting paid.
Right.
It turns out that's a bunch of bull.
Bad news. Yeah. This comment, and again, this is this 3 or 4 sentence about ratings, which I like it. And you and I have talked a lot of sports media since we've been on the show, or since I've been on the show with you. They're talking about the idea that viewership of college football obviously being up already, and NFL likely, and that is in the face of slight TV usage declines, you know, just overall.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's a million options, so everything sort of spreads itself out these days, as opposed to the four channels we had with an antenna back in my childhood, where everything you did, you know, a Richard Nixon press conference had just tens of millions of people because there was nothing else to watch. There was 15 million eyeballs on the Tech Texas game. That's a lot.
I mean,
I'm sorry, the Alabama Texas game. Yeah, I'm jumping ahead. Alabama Texas game, and this actually came from a Tuscaloosa news writer who said that, in a nutshell, explains conference realignment. You know, because a lot of these, I mean, you can contrast this with Kentucky, Florida, 4 million, the Baylor BYU game, which was in the late time slot, 2.4 million. Those are big numbers when they get up into the two millions.
Sure.
3 millions. Louisville, Central Florida, 1.8 million. So Tennessee, Pitt, 4.5 million. That explains some. That explains some conference realignment there for sure. Those two big brands went at it and got monster numbers.
There's an interesting game tonight on ESPN, Florida State and Louisville. FSU, we've not seen them. Did you just pinch yourself on your binder?
Oh, yes, I did.
FSU since they beat LSU. They've had 2 weeks, essentially, to prepare for this game.
It's true. They had an open week, right?
Right, they did. Yeah. A very, very early open week. And then Louisville, disastrous start to the season. They get worked by Syracuse, of all teams. But then last week they come back and win in Orlando and beat UCF. And UCF, I mean, has won a ton of games at home over the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
Seminoles are a 2.5-point favorite. I think this is an interesting kind of like prove it game for FSU, because it's one thing to get up for. Are you bleeding?
No, I'm good.
It's one thing to get up for LSU, right? But now you've had 2 weeks. You've had 2 weeks of everyone telling you how great you are around Tallahassee.
By virtue of a
Seminoles are back.
Sure.
You know, we're gonna run through the ACC. I mean, just everybody praising you.
Because they've been down a while.
They have been down a while.
Dang sure by their standards.
And Louisville, you think, okay, well, like, I mean, if Syracuse can beat them by 25 points, what can we do? I'm curious to see how they handle that that road environment against an LSU or a Louisville team that I think can hang. And certainly the folks in Las Vegas would indicate a close game expected, less than a field goal spread, but I'll be paying attention for sure. This is an interesting game. I think much better than what we normally get on a Friday.
Yeah, and I'll have the TV landscape pretty much to itself. I mean, I'm no offense to some of the other stuff, but at least the college football fan, you know, there's the premier game. And, you know, the Friday night thing in our part of the country, in our part of the nation, is a little bit emotional. A lot of folks are like, hey, leave high school alone, and that's fair. It's certainly an opinion, and you wouldn't have somebody like Coach McGuire coming out going, oh, this Friday night football is great. You know, he'd be super protective of that and great. But I don't think the compelling Friday night game broadcast thing is going to go away.
Would you rather Texas Tech play on a Wednesday or a Friday?
I would rather play on a Friday.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm saying that is there's just more space in my, you know, I don't have to get up tomorrow morning and go to work. And certainly, if we're talking about a home game, you know, those Thursday night games, you can do it. You know, we've all done it. It's been a while, thank goodness. But it kind of stinks, you know. I mean, you can imagine if you contrasted it with what we've had the first two Saturdays and what we'll have next Saturday in terms of a concert and that kind of stuff, that'd be next to impossible on a Thursday.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I mean, just traffic.
Class.
Yeah, traffic's weird and all that. And then I don't like sitting at a college football game, at a Tech game going, got to go home and get up tomorrow and go to work, you know. I mean, just not a fan.
More Tech Talk. Coming up next on Lubbock's Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hello there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark hotline. Hey, starting on Monday, we'll have some podcasts for you on Double T 97.3.com. They'll be available on the podcast pages at Double T 97.3.com and also on 107thescore.com. Essentially, they'll be condensed versions of our program, so it'll shrink 3 hours into one. But that'll be starting on Monday here on Double T 97.3. Back to the question before the break about, hey, is Thursday college football dying? No, I really don't think that's the case. I think it's just kind of a quirk of the early part of the season, and I think that's going to be probably the case moving forward, where college football will give the NFL a lot of breathing room early on those Thursday nights. Because you look at next week, I mean, West Virginia plays at Va-Tech on Thursday night. That's one of three games next Thursday. And, I mean, you've got a BCS non-conference matchup, a rivalry matchup on Thursday night. That's got some beef to it. That's got some juice. The next Thursday, I think you've got Utah State and BYU, another rivalry game. Now, the Aggies are 1-2. They got, I believe, obliterated by Weber State, which is an FCS team. So they're a little bit down, but still, it's a rivalry game. And then I think 2 weeks after that, you have Baylor at West Virginia. So it's a Big 12 conference game on a Thursday night. So, yeah, I don't think it's dead by any stretch. I think it's just a matter of, hey, it's early in September. The NFL premiered last Thursday. They had a big game last night and then kind of back to normal, I think, moving forward.
Yeah, it feels like we're due. Just and I'm not saying due, obviously not this year, but it feels like we're due for a Thursday home game here in the next 5 years or so. I don't like saying that. I have no real basis for it.
And you know what? I would agree with you if this conference was going to continue as it is.
I know.
But so much is up in the air. We don't know.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know what the schedule will look like next year. And it's interesting. I saw this report, too. Earlier this week, the SEC came out and, hey, directed Georgia and Tennessee to cancel or postpone some non-conference series with Oklahoma because those return games, you know, would have occurred well after Oklahoma joined the SEC. Well, I mean, the Alabama-Texas game, that series is supposed to continue next year in Tuscaloosa, and no such directive has been issued by the SEC to the Crimson Tide, which would make you think that, you know, there's no shot that Texas will be in the SEC in 2020.
Yeah, and that also, I mean, the other takeaway, I think it's not too late to back out of something like that, I guess. But because they've already done one leg of that home and home, you know, I'm sure Bama's going, hey, we'd like that payday here. Right. You know, we just went to Austin and did that whole deal. We'd like to be able to get that thing back on campus. And the other part, again, continuing on what you're saying, I threw this out there right before the break, the upcoming Thursday night NFL games, Dolphins-Bengals on September 29th, Colts-Broncos October 6th. Again, not that that moves your, you know, just is titillating news, but think about what you've got there in the 4 weeks. Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert.
Titillating news, weed strain.
There you go. Or a fantasy football team, but I'm with you. I think it's better weed strain. Mahomes, Herbert, Burrow, Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson over the first four weeks of the season. Those are pretty good marquee quarterbacks.
Love to get your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. We'll get this in the chat line. Did y'all read the article about how much some programs are spending on football recruiting? How do you feel about schools like Kansas State and Iowa State spending more than Texas Tech? Yeah, I have not, I guess I've not seen this article. I know that The Athletic came out with an article that detailed all that Texas spent on Arch Manning's official visit.
That's the one I saw through an open record, Zach.
I mean, what, like nearly $300,000 all told just for that one visit?
Eight players, or wasn't it something like that?
A lot.
I mean, it was lavish.
But to the person's question, if you'll send me the link, I'll read it in a break, and maybe this will, my guess here will be wrong. But with Kansas State and with Iowa State, I think the difference in expenditures probably can simply be explained away by travel distance, right? Because you're flying in prospects from all over the country to visit Ames, Iowa, which means they're flying into Des Moines and then, you know, busing or cab ride or Uber or being shuttled there to Ames. And the same thing goes with Manhattan, Kansas. You know, for all of the memes about how isolated Texas Tech is in Lubbock, it's darn sight easier to get a prospect here than it is to Ames, Iowa, or Manhattan, Kansas. I don't think that pound for pound they're spending more in terms of evaluation and scouting and that and stuff like that than Texas Tech. And I could be wrong, and again, send me the article, I'll read it, I promise.
Yeah, and I would be shocked if you were to present those numbers in 3 years and say that, you know, that would be true, because I think where we're headed here with Coach McGuire, that's probably not going to be, you know, I don't say it wasn't a point of emphasis in the past, but just given the results and the production in that front versus what we're about to have. I mean, just hearing the little bit, and I mentioned this yesterday, the little bit about the facility, how much of that facility is being dedicated to recruiting spaces and the optics of walking into, you know, the front door of Texas Tech football, and how much of that stuff is being set up. Yes, it's being set up to train players and to store equipment and blah, 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 blah. But a ton of that is to create a eye-popping front door for Texas Tech football to facilitate recruiting, right?
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. I mean, look at Texas Tech's commitment list right now. You have virtually every single prospect in this deal, except for three, are play high school football in Texas. You've got two kids from Louisiana, and one player from South Carolina.
And so and by that reasoning, you're talking about guys being able to hop on a Southwest Airlines, American Airlines, Delta flight out
versus
here.
Yeah, Kansas State, Texas, Oklahoma, Minnesota, Illinois, Idaho, Georgia, Florida, Arizona, Arkansas, Alabama. I mean, those are a lot of, you know, a lot of connections involved, I would think, to get to Manhattan, Kansas, or Ames, Iowa. That's my take. Again, if you send me the article, I'll read it, and maybe I'll have a different answer. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. I just made two Elvis sandwiches, and I'm in heaven. Grilled peanut butter, bananas, bacon, and honey.
Solid.
You had two of those.
Solid. Man. Yeah.
This in the chat line. Raiders will not disappoint. Offense will connect by air, plow through on the run. Defense will slap them down. 38-21 Tech. Go, goodness. Raiders.
Holy cow. I right. Love the sound of that. Yeah, 9-point underdogs at this point. Right? Isn't that the last line you saw? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. More Tech Talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock. We'd love to hear what you have to say on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. 20 minutes after losing to the Kansas City Chiefs last night, L.A. Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert exited the locker room with medical staff and walked gingerly to the x-ray room. Midway through the fourth quarter last night, Herbert took a hit from a defensive player that left him lying on the field for an extended period of time. He missed one play before returning, but then was immediately crushed between a pair of Chiefs pass rushers.
Yeah, I think we got the verdict on that in the last little bit since our show started. That's a fracture to his rib cartilage. They're saying he's day to day, but man, dude, you know how sore all of that must be. To the idea of him getting back out there and getting hit anytime soon. Whoa.
The juice brought to you by our friends at Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. It doesn't seem like that's the kind of thing that will fully heal.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell do I know? I'm not a doctor. But it's not like he's going to be able to just stand in the back there and not get touched. You know, in the next time he's out there in a game, and, you know, I don't know when their off week is, but that would be the worst, I think, about being a professional athlete. And they're compensated really, really well. But at the same time, you take an injury like that early on, and, you know, this is my reality mm-hmm. for the next, you know, 4 months, potentially. You know, that's a real downer.
Yep, that's the only shot you got, maybe, of something like that being okay is if you were rolling into an open week in which you go, all right, you're going to miss this game. We got the open week, and so now we got a 3-week window for healing and no contact and that sort of thing. But it's awful early in the season to be dealing with this kind of thing.
Now, the injury to Herbert did mean that we got a chance to see Chase Daniel last night, the former Missouri quarterback. He's now in his 13th year in the NFL. He is about to turn 36 here in a couple of weeks.
Golly, that's awesome.
And he has thrown about 260 passes in his career.
Pretty good living.
Which, you know, yeah, not bad.
Pretty good.
Not bad. And overall in his career, he's made, career earnings about $41.8 million.
For 260 passes. That is awesome.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com or through the DoubleT973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. This person says, I've traveled to Des Moines, Ames, Iowa City, Stillwater. They all stink. Lubbock is easy via Dallas and Denver.
Yep. That part's legit. And I've talked to baseball people. I've gone, it's kind of tough to get to Lubbock. And then they're talking about going to Stillwater. And I'm going, how'd that work? You land at Tulsa and then drive 90 miles? Is that right? So that's easier. That's somehow easier than landing here and having an eight minute ride over here to campus? Come on, man. And then you're like, have you ever been to Lubbock? Well, no. Ah, okay, there's the answer.
The person who asked us about recruiting budgets mm-hmm. sent me the article. They sent the article to the chat line. And it has Tech spending about $8,000 less than Kansas State on recruiting budget and about $35,000. No, I'm sorry, $135,000 less than Iowa State. Yeah, I think, again, I'm sticking with my guess. I think that's mostly about just travel costs. Because, I mean, you don't see TCU on this list or Baylor, maybe because they're private, admittedly. Houston, the same thing. You're just so close, relatively speaking, to your recruiting base compared to an Iowa State or a Kansas State or a Kansas. Love to get your thoughts on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. All I know is that I'm ready for some cold beer and firing up the smoker and throwing my guns up. Let's go, Red Raiders.
Yes, sir. Like the sound of that. All of it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a free game. Right? This is a game that I would guess the vast majority of folks, when you kind of go through the schedule in your head ahead of time, whether it's in, you know, early August or in April, probably pencil this game in as a loss. I don't know that I've seen anything the last 2 weeks from either team that really changed my mind here. So it's kind of one of those rare games where, at least, you know, for me personally, and maybe others feel differently, I'm not going to just be super stressed about it the way that I was last week against Houston. Houston was a swing game, man.
Right.
We've talked about it. Houston was gigantic.
Yep.
If you fire up the Texas Tech Cinematic Universe, right, and filter out all the ones that that include Texas Tech making a bowl game this year, I would guess the majority of those universes, those realities, include a win over Houston. Is it mathematically possible for you to go to a bowl game with a loss last week? Of course, obviously, that's how numbers work. But realistically, is it likely? I don't think so. And so now you're 2-0, have a chance to be 3-0 this weekend if you get a win. Great. If you don't, I think you still have everything in front of you. Big opportunity next week at home against Texas, and at that point you're more than halfway through the most challenging half of your schedule.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a front-loaded schedule this year.
We get this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. I would like to make about a fourth of that a year from Chase Daniels. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Are you scared of NC State? Are you frightened by the Wolfpack? Do they intimidate you?
No, I think no is the answer. And they... that's not a – it's a very experienced roster, all right? We know that. They got 10 starters coming back on defense and – or on offense and a big number toward that, maybe 10 on defense as well. But it's the big number of veteran returning players, veteran returning quarterback. What you don't see – and just looking through NFL draft lists and those type things, you don't see NC State names littered all over that. So it's a good veteran club. Probably going to be really tough to play at their place, but I don't think it's a dazzling array of talent.
Dazzling array. Weed like Strand. More Tech Talk next.
You've been listening to the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3. Check out Double T 97.3.com for more from Lubbock Sports Station.